still stared at him. Preston laughed and pulled me into a hug.
How did your mom get to New York?
By plane, of course. He raised his eyebrow.
She took a commercial flight?
I nodded.
Why?
Because that's how us regular people get around. Laughing, he let me go.
You could have used one of my planes.
I still don't think you need four.
That's why I have five.
He smiled.
She's more than welcome to take a private plane on her way back.
Am I allowed to use one when I start my new job?
Only if you're flying somewhere to see me.
He looked as if he was tempted to push me against the wall and kiss me, but he thankfully restrained himself in front of my mother.
Tara, this is your boss?
My mother repeated. I thought you said you hated everything about him.
I do. I looked at him. I thought you were going to Disney World.
We were, until a certain someone started crying because she wanted Tara to come, he said. No, excuse me, Bear wanted Tara to come. They're waiting in the car with Simon.
I smiled. Well, I'd love to come, but can we leave another day? I'm waiting on some things to be delivered from the office, and my mom wants to see New York.
I'm open to going to Disney World, my mother said. Today, with him, whenever.
I held back a laugh, and Preston clasped my hand.
I will ask Will to stand guard for the delivery of your things, he said. Do you need to grab anything from inside first?
I can't believe you're asking me if I want to pack before I go on a trip.
It's a yes or no question, Tara.
No, I said. Then in German, I added, I remember my boss saying that he'll buy me whatever I need when we get there. I wonder if that offer still stands.
You're lucky your mother is standing here right now.
He responded in perfect German. Then in English,
good, we can go now. Unless Mrs. Lauren needs to get something from your condo or get a tour of it first.
I can see the inside of her condo when we get back.
She started walking toward the elevator, and we laughed as we followed her. When we stepped onto the car, he took a call on his phone, and my mother nudged me in my shoulder.
I take back what I said about quitting, she whispered.
With a boss that looks like that, especially one who is clearly into you, you should never, ever quit. Is it too late to ask to have your job back?
30. Preston. I stared at Tara as she slept next to Violet, as the plane taxied down the runway. She was holding Bear in one hand and a bag of Mickey Mouse lollipops in the other. Unlike me, she had no problems limiting Violet's daily sweets, and I was beyond glad that she'd come along on the trip. Her last day of work was this coming Friday, and although I wasn't 100% sold on her successor, I was officially sold on us. The moment after her farewell party ended, I was determined to ask her if the two of us could continue whatever the hell had been happening over the past several weeks. I had no interest in dating anyone else, and I knew, without a doubt, that the feelings I had for Tara went deeper than sex.
Is it too late for her to get her job back? Her mother stepped into the cabin. You can tell me, and I'll find a way to get her to change her mind.
She made the right decision. I looked over at Tara again. It was time for her to go in a different direction.
You think she has chief attorney potential?
No, I said honestly. I think she has CEO potential. Anything else would be a waste. She smiled and picked up a bowl of apples.
You know, she's a pretty light sleeper, and she hates grand declarations.
Her mom looked at me as if she could read my mind.
Tell her how you feel now. I mean, I would, if I were you.
I have no idea what you're talking about, I smiled. We're just friends, and she's my former employee.
I've spent the past 3 days with you two, and this is the only time when you aren't touching.
She gave me a knowing look and headed back to the rear suite.
You're far more than friends.
When the door shut, I contemplated waking her up and asking her to join me in the front suite, but my phone buzzed on the table. An email from George. Subject: Tara Lauren's recommendation. Preston, please don't tell me you gave Tara the recommendation for her next job. George Tanner, Chief Attorney, Parker International. Subject: Reply, Tara Lauren's recommendation. Of course I did. I was more than happy to do so.
I even wrote the latest recommendation letter myself. Preston Parker, CEO and owner of Parker International. Subject, reply, Tara Lauren's recommendation. Now is not a good time to joke with me, Preston. I'm serious. Dead ass, I'm not smiling, serious. George Tanner, Chief Attorney, Parker International. Subject, reply, Tara Lauren's recommendation. As am I. You could have used quotes instead of those two hyphens, by the way. Preston Parker, CEO and owner of Parker International. Subject, reply, Tara Lauren's recommendation. So you personally recommended her to be the interim general counsel? That's nice. Very sweet. The only problem is the goddamn company she'll be doing that with. Please see attached. George Tanner, Chief Attorney, Parker International. I opened the attachment and lost my shit. What the fuck?
31. Tara. Cheers to the best executive assistant in Parker International history. Cynthia raised a glass of champagne. Tara Lauren. Everyone in the room cheered and knocked back their drinks, and I gave them my best smile. So far, there'd been farewell songs, a group poem called Please Don't Leave Us, Tara, and a dramatic dance of some kind called No, Really, Please Don't Leave Us, Tara. For some reason, Preston wasn't here, and ever since we'd returned from Disney World, he'd been on edge, as if he was upset about something. Probably because the Von Strums haven't signed the contract yet. Thank you all so much for this party, I said, standing on top of a chair. It really means a lot to me. Although I have to leave, I'll do my best to stop by for some Sweet Seasons coffee to chat with you whenever I can. I paused. Well, some of you. Everyone laughed. Make sure that you give my successor, Taylor, all of the support he needs. What's his real name? Cynthia asked. Taylor. Everyone in the room laughed except Taylor and me, so I shrugged and stepped down. I pulled out my phone and sent Preston an email. Subject, my farewell party. You're missing it. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Please forward all requests to his new assistant, Taylor Milton, via taylormilton@parkerhotels.com. Subject, reply, my farewell party.
I'm aware.
Preston Parker, CEO and owner of Parker International. Subject, reply, my farewell party. Is something wrong? You can tell me. You've been off all week. Tara Lauren, Executive Assistant to Preston Parker, CEO of Parker International. Please forward all requests to his new assistant, Taylor Milton, via taylormilton@parkerhotels.com. He never responded, and by the time the third cake was eaten and the final song played, my co-workers were filing out of the room. I waited until only a few people were left and headed toward his office. Wait a second. Cynthia stepped in front of me. I want to apologize for the way I treated you when you first got here. You didn't deserve that. I smiled. I accept your apology. I also wanted to say thank you for recommending me as Violet's interim nanny. Now that I'm engaged, it's been a godsend to have a less stressful job here. Her cheeks turned red, like they usually did when she was about to ask me for something. I wanted to know if you could ask Mr. Parker if I could be her full-time nanny, since he's been interviewing like 3 people a day and still hasn't found one. Why can't you ask him yourself? She looked at me as if I'd grown 2 heads. You're kidding, right? I shrugged. I'm sure he'll consider it. You've done a great job so far. Mr. Parker doesn't consider anything, even the ties he wears, without asking you first, she said. Every time I tell him there's someone on the line with a proposal, he asks me if you've read it first. None of the no people ever go through. Violet is a different matter, Cynthia. No, she shook her head. She isn't, and you know that whether you still work here or not, that he'll ask you to give your opinion on his final choice anyway. He did mention that a few weeks ago. Okay, I'll let him know that he should consider you, but Violet has the final decision. Thank you, she said. One last thing, Miss Lauren. Did I ever tell you that Mr. Parker found out about our betting pool? No? Did he make you cancel it? Not at all. She smiled. He joined in. Figures. Good to know. Why are you telling me this? Because he won. She smiled as she headed to the door. He said you'd last at least 2 years. She wished me luck one last time before leaving the room. I stopped by my desk and picked up a file box for Preston before walking to his office. To my surprise, he wasn't on his phone, and he wasn't in the middle of a meeting. He was just sitting at his desk, glaring at nothing at all. Hey. I stepped inside and shut the door. What's wrong? He didn't answer. He looked me up and down as always, letting a smile cross his lips, but he didn't let it stay.
What's going on, Miss Lauren?
He asked. Well, I have everything you need for your final meeting with Mr. Von Strum. I set my box on his desk and pulled out a package of pens. Make sure you take these when you go, and not one of your over-the-top priced pens, as you know he hates displays of wealth. Also, make sure that you take him somewhere affordable for dinner.
Okay. Anything else?
Yes. I pulled out a color-coded binder that read, the do-it-your-goddamn-self list. I made this for you. I've taught Taylor quite a bit over the past few weeks, but I know it's going to take him some time to truly get the hang of things. So whenever you feel like you need a second opinion or want something simple done, flip through here before you fire him, okay? He took it from me, but he didn't say anything. I've placed additional copies in your desk and other places in the office you frequent. I said, smiling, oh, and I want you to know that even though the first 2 years were hard for me, the last 6 weeks were amazing. I hope we can still see each other as much, even though we'll be working separately, you know?
No, I don't know, he said. I wish I could say I felt the same about you, but I don't. And after you walk out of my office today, I don't want to see you again.
What? Why?
Because I don't want to expose Violet to your traitorous behavior.
Is this some type of walk down memory lane thing? I smiled. There's definitely a chocolate drop in your coffee, and I've told Taylor countless times how particular you are about getting it at the right temperature.
This is not about a chocolate drop,
he said, his voice terse.
This is about you fucking betraying me on every level possible.
Preston, what are you talking about?
You told me your top two choices for your next job were Lime Corps and Tate Hills. You said that after working at either of those for a year that you were going to work for yourself. You didn't say shit about Marriott.
I sighed. I was saving this conversation for tonight over dinner.
Do you have any idea how messed up this is?
He said, glaring at me. It's only a 1 year interim position, I said. Their offer was the best out of the three, and I was definitely going to tell you.
When? On your first fucking day?
Preston,
of all the places in this city to choose to go to after working for me, surely you can see that this is a conflict of interest personally and professionally.
He was talking so loudly that I couldn't get a word in.
You've just quit the number one luxury hotel brand to work at the number two luxury hotel brand. You were my right hand, my confidant, my everything.
He slammed his fist on the table.
What do you think that board of directors is thinking about their competition right now after hiring you?
You've always said they're not your competition.
They're not.
He stood to his feet.
To me, anyway. I am to them. Don't you think they'll ask you questions about everything you've learned here over the past 2 years?
I'm acting as a general counsel. I won't be involved with the CEO's day-to-day decisions, and I'm only there to get some additional experience in running a company, a different company, I said, trying to keep my voice calm. And if you must know, I happen to like working in the hotel industry.
Then you can stay here and do that shit. He hissed. I told you I'd give you anything you wanted to stay. Anything.
With all due respect, I need to learn all the different layers of the industry, and I need to learn from another type of leadership. I can't work under you anymore, in any capacity. I didn't think that—
You didn't think at all.
He cut me off.
If you'd told me you were even considering applying there, I would have told you that the CEO is a liar, and whatever he promised you won't happen. I would have also told you that there's no way I'm going to continue dating you and sleeping with you at night while you're talking to him every damn day.
I really wish you would give me a chance to explain, I said, narrowing my eyes at him. This isn't what you think it is, and I've done my due diligence to make sure that there isn't a conflict of interest.
It was a conflict of interest the moment you took an interview with them and didn't tell me,
he said, clenching his jaw.
Get the hell out of my office, now.
Excuse me?
Get the hell out of my office.
He repeated the words, harsher this time.
Surely you have an office at Marriott where you can waste your breath and talk about all the things you didn't think about. I've heard enough.
Preston,
I never got the chance to call security on you the day we met.
He picked up his phone.
Would you like me to finally make up for that?
I dare you. I was seconds away from losing it. If you'd stop talking so damn much for once and finally listen to someone other than yourself, you'd see that we're saying the same thing. I do want to work for myself.
But not before you work for Marriott, right? That's why you didn't tell me?
I didn't tell you because I knew how you would react.
So you knew this was coming?
He pressed a button on his phone, still glaring at me.
I need someone to remove Miss Lauren from my property, now. And while we're at it, she's officially persona non grata at all my hotels. Make sure the staff who work the breakfast bars are well aware of this fact, just in case she shows up there again.
I shook my head. Thank you for showing me that you're exactly who I thought you were when I first started here. Thank you for also showing me that the past 6 weeks meant nothing to you.
The door is behind you. You don't need to talk in order to walk out of it.
I can guarantee that I'll never talk to you again.
Then why are your lips still moving?
I knocked the box off his desk and stormed out of his office. I took the elevator down to the lobby, not bothering to get one last look at my corner office. 32. Tara. Subject, starting day and an amendment. Mr. Graywood, if possible, I'd like to start my new position as your general counsel this week instead of next week. Thank you. Tara Lauren, Marriott International.
1 week later. 33. Preston. The mid-scale restaurant I was currently sitting in reminded me why I tended to avoid places like this as much as possible. The waiters were all high school students who were far more interested in talking to each other than taking my order. The kitchen was damn near out of everything I wanted to eat, and the manager was definitely on the phone with Page Six from the wicked gleam in her eye and the way she kept waving at me from across the room. We need to get this shit over with. I waited until after the dessert of packaged ice cream sandwiches was served and set the signing papers on the table. "Will Miss Lauren be joining us for this momentous occasion?" Mr. Von Strum smiled at me from across the table. "I was hoping to see her one last time." "Miss Lauren is an official trader to Parker Hotels International, and she will not be present at any meetings moving forward." "What?" George kicked me under the table. What he meant to say was that Miss Lauren is unable to make it tonight, but she wanted to let you know that she's happy we could finally settle on great terms. "Well, is there any way I could call her?" he asked. "I just want to thank her." "For what?" I said. "Leaving? Going off to be with the enemy?" "I was thinking more along the lines of getting me to see what all your company is going to do with my chain. Mr. Parker, she was great to work with, you know." "No, I don't know. I found her quite average." "Preston, enough." George tossed his napkin onto the table. "Mr. Von Strum, can you excuse us for 1 minute, please?" He stood up and glared at me, motioning for me to follow him onto the restaurant's balcony. He demanded that all the waitstaff leave us alone, and the second they were gone, he crossed his arms. "Are you out of your mind, Preston? You've been chasing this deal for too damn long to lose it over your anger for Miss Lauren." "Can you believe she went there?" "Preston, we've talked about this all week. All week." "Have we?" I shook my head. "You're the one who told me she was going to Marriott." "I honestly regret that," he said, sighing. "Look, I didn't have all the facts. I just assumed that she was going to be an executive assistant again, and that she would be used as a way for them to get insider tips on what we do at Parker International. Isn't that what she's doing there? She's the acting general counsel, but only until their real general counsel comes back from an extended leave. It's the same shit. I'm your general counsel, and I can tell you that it isn't. He paused. Besides, she came to me a few days ago to amend her employment contract with them, so even if they did try to get her to say anything, she can't, legally. There's no way they agreed to that shit. I was still hurt as hell. What hotel CEO in their right mind would hire her and not ask her anything about working for me? I'm sure a ton of them would. He shrugged, then he smiled. But she added some fascinating fine print that will prevent her from answering anything. Some of the same fine print that someone else used behind my back. She used white ink? Not only did she use white ink at the end of her contract, but she also added little notes throughout the first part of the contract in white ink as well. I held back a smile. I was still pissed. Now, if you don't mind, he said, I need you to go in there and not think about Miss Lauren for all of 5 minutes so we can seal this deal. Not thinking about her won't be a problem. That's why you've been checking on her via the concierge at her condo all week, right? I said nothing. 5 minutes, Preston. He pointed to the doors. That's it. We returned to the table and Mr. Von Strum was standing to his feet. We're so sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Von Strum, George said, panicked. Are you no longer interested in signing the deal with us? Not even close, he smiled and pointed to the papers, his signature freshly inked on each one. I just want to get the hell out of here, as I refuse to believe that Mr. Parker takes his business guests to a place where the waiters have yet to realize that they've only served us dessert and nothing else. You're correct, I smiled and placed his papers into my briefcase. I thought you liked cheap dive bar food. I do, but I never said I didn't appreciate an expensive meal on someone else's dime, he laughed. Show me where you'd dine on a night like this, Mr. Parker. Fair enough. I shook his hand and led him and George to a gum-stained elevator. Would you like me to drive? He asked. I'm sure your chauffeur is going to have a hell of a time getting down here in the traffic. There's no need to drive. I pulled out my phone. I took my helicopter here. He shook his head. You have nothing else better to do with your money, do you? Would it make you feel better if I told you I have a niece who doesn't give a damn about it and only wants to play with 50-cent cardboard boxes and teddy bears? He laughed and patted my shoulder. Only a little.
1 week later. 34. Tara. I walked through the doors at Marriott International for another day, shutting my office door behind me. Heartbroken and angry, I was still so wired into Preston's life that I was still having my new town car driver taking me to Sweet Seasons every morning, and some of Preston's old contacts were still calling my phone and telling me things I no longer cared about. Since I wasn't petty like he was, I forwarded all those calls to his new assistant and even sent Cynthia text messages about little things I happened to remember from time to time. Then again, since I'd learned a thing or two from his petty playbook, I blocked all his phone numbers and deleted them. Yes, even though I knew them all by heart. Ugh, fuck him. I pulled up my new CEO's schedule for the day and pulled out my notepad so I could take some notes. Brunch meeting regarding property contracts, afternoon Skype session about legal fees with the Voight Company, and an inventory session with the interns. I refreshed the schedule again, knowing that this couldn't be right. Yet no matter how many times I refreshed it, those three meetings were the only things that appeared. I looked at the schedule for the entire week and saw that there were only 2 to 3 events per day. That's it? I picked up my desk phone and called his secretary. Good morning, Miss Lauren, she answered on the first ring. Is everything going okay during your first week? It's been more than okay so far. Well, great. How may I help you? I was looking over the schedule for Mr. Graywood and... and there are only 2 to 3 things a day. Is there a private calendar I'm missing? No, that's right. Mr. Graywood likes to keep his days simple and stress-free. Well, since most of these meetings are already handled, do you have any idea what his current general counsel would do? I don't want to contact him about this just yet, since I am trying to be a great interim, you know? If I were you, I would just enjoy the lush job, Miss Lauren, she said, sounding genuine. Mr. Graywood doesn't trust women, and he hired you and me to make himself look good on the outside. His true general counsel is a guy named Bob, who he trusts with his life. But that job is so hectic that no woman would be able to handle it. Trust me. She laughed. Treat yourself to one of our spas downstairs, answer a few emails, and check on things every hour or so. Then take a breath and smile, because you officially have the best job in all of New York. Right. Is there anything else I can do for you? No, but thank you and the rest of the staff for the sweets basket. We didn't send you that sweets basket, she said. That came from Preston Parker. She ended the call, and I stared at the basket, tempted to toss it into the trash. The last thing I needed right now was any memories of him. I stood up and left my office, hitting the lights. I'd rather take her up on that spa offer. 2 weeks later. 35. Tara. Subject.
How's your job at the No. 2 hotel chain?
Subject.
I need to talk to you about the last time you were in my office.
Subject.
I've called you 50 times this week.
Subject.
Did you block my number?
Subject.
I know you see these damn emails, Tara.
I deleted the latest page of Preston's emails and headed downstairs to the tech department.
Good morning, Miss Lauren.
The director smiled at me.
How can I help you?
I'd like you to flag and block an email address from sending things to my inbox from here on out, I said. For some reason, my blocker isn't working.
Of course, miss. What's the email address?
PrestonCEOParker@ParkerHotels.com.
Oh.
He sighed.
I'll see what I can do.
You'll see what you can do. All you have to do is place it on the block list, just like all the other addresses you have blocked.
Well, it's slightly more complicated than that. It takes a lot of technical skill, and sometimes certain addresses slip through anyway.
I gave him a blank stare.
The internet is a crazy place, you know? It's super crazy.
How much is Mr. Parker paying you to keep him off my block list?
What?
His cheeks reddened. A dead giveaway.
Nothing. I wouldn't dare take his money for something as simple as this. I mean,
how much?
$2,000 a week.
I'll double it.
He said you'd say that if you found out.
He whispered. And?
He said that I was supposed to call him when that happened.
You're not going to call him, I said, because if you do, I'll have you fired for fraternizing with the competition.
Competition? Marriott is nowhere near the same league as the Parker Hotels, Miss Lauren. The Parker Hotels are, like, so way ahead that it's almost laughable.
That's not what your employee handbook says. I narrowed my eyes at him. You will not call him. I don't care what he offered you. Clear? He nodded.
Clear.
Good. I started to walk out of his office, but he called my name, making me look over my shoulder. Yes?
He offered me a bonus if I could make you finally open one of the baskets he sent.
He walked over to our main storage room and opened it, revealing all the huge gift baskets that arrived 3 times a day like clockwork.
So, would it kill you to open one and let me get a picture for him? I mean, it's just a picture, and you'd be helping the less fortunate, right?
I shook my head and walked away. Jesus, Preston.
36. Preston. I wasn't used to Tara not talking to me. I wasn't used to not seeing or hearing from her for this long, and I'd yet to admit it, but the shit hurt like hell. It especially stung more each time I had to call for my new executive assistant, who was nowhere near as good as she was, or any time Violet asked if she was coming over. She was ignoring all of my emails and text messages, and if I knew her like I thought I did, she was probably placing all of my gifts in a closet somewhere. Sighing, I picked up my desk phone and called Taylor. "Yes, Mr. Parker?" he answered on the first ring. "You forgot to bring me my short list this morning." "Oh, yeah," he said. "Be right there." He ended the call and walked into my office a few seconds later. He was a decent assistant, although he struggled to understand the art of sarcasm, and he couldn't get my coffee right to save his life. I'd given up on asking him to get it, and had even used Tara's do-it-your-goddamn-self list to complete certain aspects of his job. "Are you going to start giving me some of your updates, Taylor?" I asked. "Now would be a good time."
"Right. Well, I have everything set for your meeting this Friday." He tapped his lip. "I also have your schedule finalized for your conference in Florida next month. Also, Violet's birthday party planner said she'd be calling you soon."
"I already threw Violet a birthday party this year. It was a trip to Disney World."
"Yeah, but," he crossed his arms, "you said that Violet was adjusting to New York at a rapid rate with her new friends, and at the rate she was going, she'd want a party at Grand Central Station. I figured you'd want to start planning for that now, right?"
"That was sarcasm, Taylor."
"It didn't sound like sarcasm. It sounded like you were serious."
"That's the entire point of sarcasm." I rolled my eyes. "I'm taking her to Disney World next year for her party. In fact, her birthday parties will be there until she turns 9.
"You can afford to rent out a section of Grand Central Station for a night, though. I think she'd much prefer that, don't you think?"
"Get the hell out of my office, Taylor."
"Is that sarcasm?"
I gave him a blank stare and held back a sigh. "Thank you for your work today. You can go home early if you need to."
"Can I say something before I leave, sir?"
"Go ahead."
"Well, don't take this personally, but I can't help who I am, and I'd appreciate it if you accepted that I'm not Tara. I'll never be Tara, either."
I raised my eyebrow.
"Today is the first time you've called me by my name, and you expect me to know all of the things she does. It's only been a few weeks, so could you please give me a chance as an individual, without all the expectations and things you had with her? That's all I'm asking."
He placed a folder on my desk, not giving me a chance to answer.
"I'll see you tomorrow, sir."
3 weeks later. 37. Tara. I never thought I would see the day when I would miss working for Preston, but this morning was making me wonder if I should have stayed a little while longer. My calendar was empty, my task list was complete, and most of the staff was attending a training session that would keep them busy for the rest of the day. Leaning back in my chair, I stared at the mountain of delivered gifts that was sitting in my corner. I had yet to touch any of them, and I wanted to make it to the 4-week mark before I even looked at one of the attached cards. But with another blank afternoon, I was tempted to cave. Before I could open the closest package, an email from my CEO popped onto the screen. Subject: ideas needed.
"Hey, everyone. Just letting you know that I'm in need of some hosting ideas for a conference I want to hold for some executive friends this month. This would be the first session regarding the autumn promotional campaign we're running next year, so please let me know if you have any. Please don't share this email with anyone who is not a B-level or C-level employee. Mark Graywood, CEO of Marriott International."
I immediately pulled out the folder of ideas I was working on last week and made my way to his office. Knocking, I cleared my throat as I stepped into the room.
"Well, hello there, Miss Lauren."
He smiled at me as I walked inside, smoothing his graying hair.
"How are you today?"
"I'm great. I was wondering if I could talk with you for a minute."
"Of course, of course."
He gestured for me to have a seat and handed me a basket of bread.
"Try a few of these mini rolls first. They're amazing."
I hesitated.
"No worries, Miss Lauren," he said. "They're gluten-free."
"Thank you." I smiled and tried one, then another and another.
"Amazing, right?"
He laughed.
"I can't get enough of these damn things. The chef who made these is out of this world, and he'll be cooking for the B and C level executives in a private party tomorrow before he starts his residency at our downtown hotel."
Why didn't I get an invite to that? That sounds great. I wanted to show you some ideas for the conference you're hosting for the executives. Since it will be a fall-themed campaign, you should make sure that everything about their trip from start to finish will fit that theme to heighten the brainstorming sessions. I opened my folder. If you give me 5 minutes...
I didn't know I included you on that email.
He interrupted me.
I don't need any ideas from you, Miss Lauren. I'm sure they're amazing, but this is a man's job, as you know.
No, I don't know. What do you mean?
I mean, all I hired you to do was be the interim.
He smiled.
So, be the interim. Do the few small things in the morning from my short list, handle your inbox, and rest your pretty little head while the guys run everything else.
I contributed to all the marketing campaigns at Parker International, I said. It wasn't even in my job description, and some of my ideas were better than the damn marketing director's.
Like I'll believe that.
He tilted his head to the side, giving me his patronizing smile.
The Preston Parker I know wouldn't dare let a woman have any input on anything except how short he likes her skirt.
He's not like that at all. I paused. A good idea was a good idea no matter who it came from.
Nice try, Miss Lauren.
He winked at me.
But I'm pretty sure I know Mr. Parker far better than you do. He's been at this for over a decade, just like I have. And the only reason he's number one is because he's slightly more ruthless than we are. But it's also because we always have the right thinkers in the room. The guys.
Okay, look. I wasn't going to put up with this for a full year. I would appreciate it if you would just listen to what I have to say before making any... I sneezed. Sorry, as I was saying, I sneezed again. He bit into another mini roll.
Something wrong, Miss Lauren?
Was there any garlic in those?
Oh, yeah, tons.
He smiled.
The beauty of how the chef makes them is that you don't even taste it until it's paired with the wine, but it's there.
He smiled.
Brilliant, huh?
I need to go home. I felt my throat itching and knew it was only going to get worse from there. Now,
well, do you want me to get you a cab?
He asked.
I'm suspending the town car service starting tomorrow anyway. Sorry that I didn't include you on that email either.
A cab would be fine. He picked up his desk phone and handed it to me.
You don't expect me to actually call it for you, do you?
Later that night, I groaned as I held my phone's camera up to my face. My lips were swollen and my eyes were red and puffy. Here you go, bestie. Ava placed a cold towel on my forehead. If it makes you feel any better, my new job sucks. Like, I can't even put into words how much I hate it. I think I hate my new job, too. I said, why is it so hard to find a good one?
Like I would know.
She laughed. Anyway, your boyfriend stopped by the concierge desk today. Again. He's not my boyfriend. Well, I ran into him on my way out, and he practically begged me to talk to him. Preston Parker doesn't beg for anything. He was definitely begging. She fluffed the pillow behind my head. I told him you got sick at work. Like, actually sick. Not as in a ruse to get him to go away. She stepped away for a few seconds and returned with a silver tray of food. He told me to contact other noodles, and they flew this in while you were sleeping. Can you believe that? She uncovered the tray, revealing chicken soup and gourmet crackers. There was also hot tea, ginger ale, and a note.
Feel better, and please answer one of my calls. Preston. P.S. Yes, the noodles are gluten-free. P.S.S. I still wish that you were working for me, but I do appreciate the do-it-your-goddamn-self list.
I'm not eating his apology food. Yes, you are. She handed me a spoon. He also sent medicine, and Violet sent you a crayon drawing. Don't ask me what it's supposed to be, because I honestly can't tell. I laughed and slowly sat up, sipping the soup. After he talked to me the way he did in his office, would you give him a second chance? Let's see. What would I do if my former billionaire boss got super mad at me for going to another hotel company and put me out of his office? If this is the same billionaire who cares about me, gives me good cock, and wants to be with me, while calling me every day and even sending gifts to my best friend just to get small updates about my life? She tapped her chin. No, I wouldn't give him a second chance. I'd find another billionaire. They're like a dime a dozen, you know? Wait a minute. You've been giving him updates on me in exchange for gifts?
Of course not.
She covered the Cartier watch on her wrist. What type of friend do you think I am? I picked up a pillow and tossed it at her. A terrible one. Give it some time and decide for yourself, she said. As lovesick as he's acting, I'm sure he'll wait as long as it takes. He's not lovesick, Ava. He's just used to having me around to help him make decisions. No, I'm pretty sure he cares about you just as much as you care about him. She leaned against the doorframe. You know, I believe that you hated him the first year or so, but after that, I'm not so sure. You kept showing up to work when you knew you had enough money in the bank, and you could have easily walked away. For the umpteenth time, I was legally bound to do so. You weren't personally bound to do so. She shrugged. You could have stayed at home and never shown up. What would he have done? Get out of my room. That's what I thought.
38. Preston. I set down my phone as my 10th call of the day went straight to Tara's voicemail. I'd never called a woman this much and received nothing in return, and with her knowing all my ways to get to her, I wasn't sure what I could do next. I couldn't deny that my days were far less exciting without her, and in her absence, I spent way less time in my office. Feeling a slight tug at my pants, I looked down and saw Violet toying with her new sports cup.
"Can you help me, Uncle Preston?"
she asked. I took it from her hands and adjusted the straw. "Here you go."
"Thank you."
She smiled and let Bear have a sip. Then she looked up at me again.
"I miss Tara."
"Me too."
"Can she come play with us?"
"Let's see." I picked up my phone and called her friend Ava. I was done being patient. "Hello?" "Hello, Ava," I said. "It's Preston." "I know that. You just called me 2 hours ago. Without a gift offer, might I add, so I don't have any new information for you." I laughed. "I'm not going another day without seeing her. Where is she?" "She doesn't work for you anymore." "I'm well aware of that." "She also doesn't love you anymore." "I wasn't aware she loved me to begin with." "Well," she gasped. "She didn't. She hated you." "Please tell me where she is, Ava." "You're not going to offer me a gift first?" "The gift will be her not talking about me every night." "She doesn't talk about you every night." She paused. "Okay, no, I would definitely like that. She's at the 21 Rooftop Bar on Park Avenue. It's a work event." "Thank you very much." "By the way, if you ever talk to her the way you did in your office again, I will get all my fashion friends and we will one-star the hell out of all your hotels," she said. "I will also hire someone to make sure that the next chocolate drop at the bottom of your Sweet Seasons coffee isn't chocolate at all, if you catch my drift." "Are you threatening me?" "I'm promising you," she said. "Now get off my phone and go talk to the person you want to talk to."
39. Tara. To whom it may concern, thank you for the opportunity to work for your misogynistic brand. I've truly appreciated being treated like a second-class...
Ms. Lauren?
My boss walked toward me, and I put away the first draft of my next 2 weeks' notice.
Miss Lauren, I want to introduce you to Mr. Klein. This is the man who put on this event at a moment.